Before I begin the homily, I just want to mention that last night at Eucharistic Adoration, a woman lost her diamond engagement ring somewhere in the chapel. So if you could just take a look around for a moment. She did promise a $1,000 reward for whoever finds it. So just take a moment, look. April Fool's. I try to do that once a year, so. Okay. Well, I never get applause for a homily. That's pretty good. You should see that when I do that every 7 years on a Sunday. The kids are scrambling under the pew. The kids are fighting to look for this diamond ring. Well, today is a great gospel passage from John chapter 5, the first few verses about the paralytic who was sick for 38 years. And St. John tells us that this was during the Feast of the Jews, and so there were literally hundreds of thousands of people that would come up to Jerusalem. You always had to go up to Jerusalem since it was a city set on a hill. And so there were huge crowds. In fact, Josephus would sometimes say that during the high feast days, over 1 million people would enter into Jerusalem. And John tells us a very interesting thing. He says, now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool. What's interesting is that John is speaking in the present tense, but this pool was destroyed in 70 AD. So it's interesting because sometimes people think, well, John wrote his gospel very late, perhaps in the year 90 or so. But this is one of the evidences, it seems, that John wrote it a little bit earlier than people think, perhaps before the destruction of Jerusalem, which was in 70 AD. So he says there is in Jerusalem this pool, a Bethesda, by the sheep gate. It's also interesting that the excavations that occurred in the 19th century discovered this pool and the remains of these five porticos. So it does validate sacred scripture to show that it is accurate. And this place was a place of healing, very similar to Lourdes or to Fatima, where people would go and either in Lourdes to bathe in the miraculous waters or to go to Fatima and bless themselves with special water from the springs. And there was sort of a legend or a tradition that every once in a while God would send an angel to stir up the waters, and that whoever was the first one to bathe in the waters or immerse themselves in the waters after it had been stirred up would be the one that would be cured. That particular passage is, again, just a tradition or a legend. It's not found in the original manuscripts, but perhaps added a little bit later. It says here, waiting for the moving of the water, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Again, that particular phrase is not found in the earliest manuscripts, but it is found in some ancient manuscripts. But either if it was an angel that stirred up the water or the Lord, it was the person's faith and a miracle of God. We do know that it was a place of healing, and this particular man had been paralyzed for a long time. In fact, for 38 years, he had been sick, and the Lord saw him by the gate and said to him, "Do you want to be well?" And again, the Lord wants to see if we have that desire to be healed, to be cured, to be converted. He wants to show our desire. And the man says, "I have no one to help me into the pool after the water's been stirred up." So he didn't have any friends. Nobody would help him. And this is the importance of leading other people to God. We know many people that are spiritually paralyzed. They're away from God, away from church. They haven't come to Mass in years. They haven't gone to confession in 40, 50 years. They're spiritually paralyzed. They need us to help bring them to Holy Mother Church, to invite them to Mass on Christmas or Easter or Sunday, to get them to confession. Otherwise, they might just lay paralyzed for 38 years or longer. So we have to do our job to bring souls, these paralyzed souls that we know about, to bring them to the Lord and to the church and to the sacraments. Well, the Lord just immediately cures the man. He says, "Rise, take up your mat and walk." So Jesus immediately tells him that he is cured. And the man, at the words of Christ, is immediately cured. And he didn't even have to go into the waters to be cured. The Lord did it directly. Well, the man is so ecstatic. He's walking for the first time in 38 years. He's carrying his mat. The only problem is it's a Saturday. It's a Sabbath. And it's forbidden to carry anything on the Sabbath. That's the legalism of the Pharisees that took the idea of rest on the Sabbath and just made it so ridiculous and so legalistic that you couldn't even carry a mat. And of course, they got on the Lord's case for curing on the Sabbath as well. And so they asked this man, "Why are you carrying your mat?" And he, of course, says, "Well, don't blame me. Blame the fellow who told me to carry the mat." And the Lord later found him in the temple, because now this man was able to go to the temple for the first time. And he approaches him and says something very interesting. "Do not sin anymore, so something worse may not happen to you." Well, what could be worse than being paralyzed for 38 years? That, of course, would go being going to hell for eternity is much worse than, you know, being paralyzed for 38 years. As one Christian says, he was healed physically. His 38 years as an invalid would be nothing compared to something worse, that is, eternity in hell. The man needed to stop sinning and come to salvation in Christ. He even needed a greater miracle to have his sins forgiven. So that is the greatest thing, is the healing of the soul from sin, far greater than even the physical healing.